Tavares backhand towards the goal. Loose puck. Everybody scores! Tie game! Can you believe it?
Up the boards. Can't get it out. Sweeney blasts for scores!
Gretzky controlling it. Inside the blue line. Gretzky gets it. He shoots. He scores! Just a one-man show. Wayne Gretzky.
This is one of the best World Junior Games we have ever seen.
You're never going to believe this, but I'm actually getting goosebumps.
I'm looking like I can't believe we're so close to going.
I know.
I look at the calendar and it's exciting, but it scares me at the same time because I still got a lot to do.
I have nothing to do. but I'm still excited about it. It's Bryn Griffiths and Paul Almeida with you on our Azarkan Tours podcast. It's our Canadian Bears special as we get ready for the World Junior Hockey Championship coming up in Sweden. This is going to be a lot of fun today because we're going to be chatting with Dennis Bayak, who's the longtime play-by-play, one of the longtime play-by-play voices of this event on TSN. So we're going to be chatting with Dennis coming up in a couple of minutes. So how are you keeping yourself busy?
How am I keeping myself busy? I'm barely sleeping right now, Bryn.
Yeah.
And when I'm sleeping, I'm only thinking of the World Juniors and stuff that I have to get done. But we're getting there.
Jan and everybody at the house.
Yeah, we're slowly getting there. There's still a lot of work to be done, but I like the direction things are going, and I think it's going to be a fantastic World Juniors. A little bit different than the one in Prague and in Ostrava, but I think just as interesting, and I think people are really going to enjoy it.
What do you want to talk about before we get to Dennis? Anything specific, or you just want to get rolling?
Let's get on to Dennis. Dennis, by the way, one of my favorite Oilers broadcasters of all time.
Yeah.
The couple of years that he did the Oilers, we had good teams back then with Dougie Waite, and I really enjoyed his call, and I would say he's one of the best play-by-play guys that we've had in Edmonton since we came into the NHL.
And my history with Dennis goes back to the Western Hockey League. He was the assistant general manager, when I knew him, the assistant GM of the Saskatoon Blades. I was in Moose Jaw doing the play-by-play of the Warriors in the Western League. So we know each other. We got him on the line, so I guess let's get rolling. Hey, Dennis, how you doing?
I'm doing very well, guys. How are you?
Fine, thanks. We're really excited about going to Sweden. You're going to be there in Sweden. How excited are you?
Well, very. My first World Junior Championship was the year after it was in Malmo. So I've been to Sweden for a World Championship. I've been to Gothenburg before for a World Championship, never for a World Junior. So very much looking forward to it.
Is there a place where we should be going and hanging out for good lunches and dinners and beyond?
You know what? This was many years ago that the World Championship was in Gothenburg. My lifestyle was way different then than what it is now. As you get older, you slow down a little bit. But when we got there, it was still kind of spring, was just kind of starting. And then in the next few days after we arrived, the weather turned absolutely gorgeous. And there was lots of places to have lunch on patios and beers on patios. And there was lots to see there. We did some sightseeing. And it was still the days when TSN didn't do every World Championship game. So we still actually had days off. And we would go to practice and then have the rest of the time to ourselves and things. But it was a very good city. I really enjoyed it there, and I'm looking forward to going back, even though the weather will be different, certainly at this time of the year in December, January, than what it was in May of that year. But it'll still be nice to get back there.
Well, I think the highs are going to be around zero, Dennis, so it won't be too bad compared to other ones that I've been at. Is there one World Juniors that you could remember that was extremely cold or that maybe was a little bit challenging for you?
Hands down, Buffalo, no doubt.
What a shock.
It was absolutely freezing, and they had told us that the tram would run until 1 o'clock in the morning or whatever time they had, but it was well after the final game would have been done. And that was going to take us back to the hotel, and lo and behold, we found out very quickly, the hard way, that the tram didn't run. And it was maybe a 20-minute walk back to the hotel from the rink. And we did it a couple of nights because you couldn't find a cab at that time of the night there. And there just wasn't enough people attending the games where there would be cabs around. You could have tracked down a volunteer. But I remember our crew, we were walking back to the hotel a couple nights, and it was cold.
Well, hey, listen.
And not only that, it was cold in the rink.
If we get into this problem, Dennis, if we get into this problem, you can jump on our bus, okay? I'll just say
well,
that
there
right
you
now.
Go. I'll be there. I'll be there with all the fans, no doubt, as long as there's beer on the bus.
Yes.
You know what? And so eventually they went and got some heaters for the press box, for the broadcast
oh
booth,
gosh.
Because there wasn't enough people in the building to warm up the building.
Wow.
And it was miserable. It was no doubt. The one back in Ufa, back in 2013.
Right.
It was nice at the start, got cold in the middle. We had about two or three nights and days where it was very miserable, snow blowing and cold. And then it warmed up again for New Year's Day, and I remember going for a walk on New Year's Day. So, you know, that one was a bit of a different experience. I did radio back on that one, Shane 90 and I, because the NHL lockout was on.
Right.
And it was a late decision by TSN. They didn't decide till, I want to say, like mid-December, that, okay, there's no way this lockout's going to be over. We were doing radio in Winnipeg and TV in Winnipeg, Shane and I. And, you know, they made the decision that, okay, there's no way this lockout's going to be over by the time the World Junior starts. So let's send a crew. So Shane and I went over and did TSN radio. On the way back, we are in the Air Canada lounge in Frankfurt, and we turn on our phones to find out the lockout's over. So we never really had a lot of time, which was good. We were happy with that. Everybody was happy. And, you know, so we got back on the airplane knowing that that when we got back to Winnipeg, it was going to be get back to work very soon, which was good.
I got to bring this up because numerous NHL guys have told me that they thought that the coldest one of these that they ever attended was the Saskatoon one. So you're saying Buffalo was worse?
Well, I wasn't. Okay, I wasn't. Okay, let's go back to the Saskatoon one.
Yeah.
In 1989, we had the Memorial Cup. Saskatoon Blades, which I was chairman of.
Yeah.
Terrific group of people to work with. We had terrific volunteers. Our staff did a great job, and as a result, it was a great Memorial Cup. And then Saskatoon was getting the World Junior. So they asked if I would be on the committee. I said I didn't want to chair it, but I would certainly, you know, help out and be on the committee. So in the meantime, I get a call from Seattle, get interviewed by Seattle, and I moved to Seattle. So I was gone from Saskatoon by the time the World Junior was held there. So now we fly back from Seattle on a private plane with a bunch of other people back to the Prairies for Christmas that year.
Right.
So Bev's mom and dad, my wife Bev, her mom and dad lived about an hour and a half in the Wilkie area, Landis, Cavell, whichever, if you know the area.
Yep.
And there was one night I was going in for a World Junior game. And I got to the main highway, which was about, maybe 600 kilometers from where the farm was. And I got to the highway and I said to myself, what are you doing? It was like minus 40. The wind was howling. The snow was blowing. And I turned around, came back in, turned the TV on, and watched it on television. But yeah, that one was a cold one. I just wasn't in Saskatoon for it.
Wow. Well, the nice thing, Dennis, is that I was at the World Juniors in Malmo that you missed in 2014. And I have to tell you that the weather was fantastic. It was actually light drizzle of rain. There was hardly any snow on the ground. And it was plus temperatures during the day, dipped to about minus 5, minus 10 at night. It was perfect. So I'm hoping for the same this time around.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's hope so.
Now, you've been in hockey for a long time in the Western Hockey League. Do you remember one of your players ever going to the World Juniors and having an outstanding tournament and it was unexpected and then he came back? And how was it when they come back from the World Juniors and have either a very strong World Juniors or not so strong World Juniors? How do you deal with that when the player returns to your club?
Well, two will stand out. Number one was Wendell Clark when he went. and he was one of the last players selected. We had him playing defense, and Terry Simpson, you're challenging my memory now, but I think Terry Simpson was the coach of that team, and said, would you come as an extra defenseman and an extra forward? And Wendell said, what time does the bus leave? So yeah. He went there and came back with this fur hat, but he scored a big goal that ended up being a key goal for Canada in that World Championship. Todd Strebe, Mark Havscheid, another year the two of them went. And we always had this debate when those players came back as to, do you put them right back in the lineup? Do you give them some time off? Daryl Lubinecki and I remember, and Marcel Como, having a long discussion at various times, but I know Luby and I had several chats about what was best, and we just felt, give the players some time off right now and let them decompress and let them get some rest. I mean, you were dealing with time change, you were dealing with an emotional level and everything else. So we always felt that was the best. I know other teams put their players right back in, and away they went. You know, so I'm not sure there's a right or a wrong decision. We just kind of always felt it was best to give them some time off, let them get the World Junior out of their system, and then let them kind of come back in for a couple of practices. The schedule sometimes dictated that, too. If they came back and you had 4 or 5 days off, it was a bit easier. But if you were coming back and they had games Friday, Saturday, Sunday, you certainly didn't want to have them get off an airplane on Thursday coming back from the World Junior and then get into the lineup and play Friday, Saturday, Sunday. We didn't think that was a good idea.
Did you ever have a player come back and either just take off and be, reach another level, or another player come back and just struggle to get back into the Western Hockey League?
Yeah, I don't know if it was a struggle. I do remember players that came back that, you know, for the first 3-4 games, it took them a while to get back into, you know, into the Western Hockey League, back into junior hockey. And some of that, I think, really varied from player to player. You know, did they have a lot of people come to town right after they got back? Did they have company? Did they, were they banged up a little bit? What was their emotional level? Some players and some people handle emotional levels different than others. And I think that would play a part too. And for some players, I mean, we're dealing with elite players, or else they wouldn't have been there in the first place. So it's even a bad game by a Mark Havscheid or a Todd Strebe, you wouldn't notice that it was a bad game by those players, or a Wendell Clark, because they were elite players. So, and there's other players that we had go to the World Junior. I just, I'm not going to get into a long list here because I'm really testing my memory if I did that and I'd miss some guys. But you know, I really think it varies. Some of that stuff really varies from player to player.
I got to tell you, in my Western Hockey League experience, we had Theo Fleury and Mike Keane go over to Piešťany in Czechoslovakia. And of course, we all know what happened there. They came back to an absolute media sideshow here for obvious reasons, and their seasons were spectacular. It just seemed that sometimes these kids, and they're still young men, they take it and they surge. They just can't wait to keep playing, even though they've reached the apex. It's always fun to watch the transition of a young kid to a young adult, especially when they go through something like this. I'm sure you had the same experience.
Well, they come as boys and they leave as men, to be honest.
Yeah.
You know, because they do learn so much. For many of them, they're away from home for the first time. I don't know if the players that came back from that Piešťany situation really, until they landed and got into it, I don't know if they had any idea of what they were coming back to. You know, you didn't have social media then the way you do now. I mean, now the players would all get warned by their parents or their friends or Hockey Canada or their teams or whoever that, hey, this is what you're coming back to. And that wasn't the case. They thought that was over and done with and the tournament was complete and they were just going to come back and get back into a regular lifestyle. Well, we all know that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And they had to answer a bunch of questions and everything else. But that's the one of the greatest things about junior hockey. And the greatest, you know, I love training camp even, because to see the improvement in a young player from when you last saw him in spring to when you saw him in training camp. And they mature, they, you know, they develop, they learn, they get, you know, And but that was always the case. I mean, they came there and they got into high school, whether it be grade 10 or 11, whatever the case was. And by the time they were done, they had graduated, and some went on to college and took part-time courses. Some got drafted, some didn't. Some went on to other things. But to see the development of young people, and I think this is true for business, whatever the case may be, you get a young apprentice plumber, and then to see him in 3 years where he is, and by all those things fall into place. But we certainly, being involved in the hockey world, see it from a hockey standpoint, and that really was a very good saying. They come as boys and leave as men.
Coming up on another episode of this podcast, we'll talk about the actual production and how you guys do such an outstanding job at TSN with this. But I want to stay with this event for a couple of minutes longer, and that is, do you if you had to basically focus on maybe two or three games or moments that were super special to you, can you even list one or two or three?
Well, I think the one in Finland, 2016, stands out. Finland had such a terrific team. When you look at the players that were on that squad, and the three that, I mean, Rantanen got the big winner, and they had just, I mean, you could go down that roster and just say, wow, no wonder they won, and yet they got pushed. But what stands out was that was the emergence of Sebastian Aho, Jesse Puljujärvi, and Patrick Laine. That's where, and it was funny because I was in Winnipeg, and he ended up getting drafted by the Winnipeg Jets. But that's kind of where I really admired Patrick Laine as a player. But that line, despite the fact that they were younger players, that line was absolutely phenomenal in that tournament. And to see the fans turn out. So that's one that always stands out. Sweden's run, I think, in the preliminary round, every year you went there saying, okay, well, now it's up to this, now it's up to that. I think it finally got dusted, I want to say, at 54 games, I think, by Russia, maybe 2021. My first World Junior will always stand out because it was the year that Denmark won its first ever World Junior Championship game. And to see the fans in Toronto take to that Denmark team, and Nikolai Ehlers, who I spent many years with in Winnipeg, was on that squad, to see the Toronto fans take to this team from Denmark and how they became fan favorites, and that was great to see. That happened again in Victoria with Kazakhstan. I mean, the Victoria fans love Kazakhstan. I mean, they got outshot 50-16 every game, and they had some players that their goalie stood on his head, and when all was said and done with the preliminary round, they got a standing ovation from the fans in Victoria, and they saluted the fans. And so those are some of the ones that stand out. You got the Red Deer situation that was canceled, and the summer tournament, and things of those, but certainly those are some of the ones that jump out at me.
So there you go, Dennis Bayak from TSN. He's going to join us on the next episode as well. Well, I want to talk about the broadcasts. We can talk about the hockey and all that kind of stuff, but he can give us some behind-the-scenes stuff.
Well, the amount of work that goes into doing that must be just astronomical, and I'm sure he's going to give us some insight on exactly how many people it takes to pull that together. I think it's way more than we all think.
Oh, I can guarantee you that. People don't understand the expense of putting on a broadcast or the amount of people that it takes. And we're lucky in Edmonton in particular. We've always had great broadcasters behind the scenes. Not necessarily. We've had some great play-by-play guys from here, but we've had some tremendous people on the crews. Like I know when we set up at the hotel, there's at least 10 guys that I know that I've worked with at CBC or at CTV that are all on this crew that are going to drop by our hospitality suite. So I'm really looking forward to it. It'll be a blast. Okay, ready to wrap this baby up? Hang on. We did this last time. We're going to do it again, so bear with me. Yeah.
They're trying to turn the lights off, and they turned them off.
Can't believe I said bear with me.
Oh, great.
Talk to you later.